You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome in to Grant and Danny. December 17th, 2025. You are listening live to The Fan. In 1 hour at 3 o'clock, Brock Vereen of the Big Ten Network to get us ready for the college football playoffs. 4 o'clock today, your Beltway Blitz. And at 5, we're getting ready for week 16 in the NFL with Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network. Danny, how are you?
Very well, my friend. The fitness boys got our work in today. We're all limping around and tired and sore, but I guess we did it. Yay. I'll never understand the workout people that like always tell you how great you feel and they kind of lie to try to get you in your cult. I'm telling you right now, I'm tired. I'm sore. I'd love to take a nap. That's where I am. I feel like I did all I'm supposed to do today, and now I have to go home. But I'm not. I'm hanging out with you. We're talking sports.
You're having a better day than Tua Tagovailoa, who got benched by the Miami Dolphins today, one of the league leaders with 15 interceptions. We said yesterday that you could tell the shift in tone from his head coach, Mike McDaniel, being asked after the Monday Night Football clunker. Just a dud from Tua. Bad for the offense. And he was no longer really emphatically defending his quarterback. Well, the 27-year-old lefty was benched today. They didn't go to their number two, Zach Wilson, who'd been QB2 on the depth chart all season. They skipped over Zach Wilson. Presumably, he'll be the backup, and Tua will be inactive as the third guy, which is what happens when you get benched this late in the year. We've got experience around these parts on that with Washington's quarterback history. But the starter is going to be Quinn Ewers, the former Texas Longhorn star, started his college career at Ohio State, 7th-round pick this year. So they'll kick the tires. It feels like when you bench a guy like Tua with his contract, you are now saying he is available come this offseason.
That's the only way I can interpret it, right? We looked up the contract terms yesterday. I don't have it in front of me, but it was arduous. Like, to get out of that deal, you can't cut him. I mean, moving on from him is really, really hard. You have to hope that somebody wants him. Just can't imagine that, as out of favor as he is at this point, that someone would want to take on that deal. So, yeah, I mean, they're kind of stuck. I mean, we talked about this a bunch. When it comes to quarterback, if you've got a great one, you don't worry about it. Whatever the going rate is, you just pay it, right? One of the handful of teams that when you get to a second contract, you just do it. There are a bunch of teams, though, and also on the other end, if the guy stinks, you don't care, you move on, you draft the next one. But it's that middle tier where you're so scared to be in the abyss that Washington and Cleveland and Chicago and Detroit before Jared Goff were always in no matter what. You could never get out of this abyss, and it's just you're going the Case Keenum tier to Case Keenum tier to this leftover to this broken project, this rehabilitation. You're doing everything you possibly can to be relevant, and it never works. Once in a blue moon, you get a Rich Gannon or you get somebody that you know, a Baker Mayfield on his third stop. But for the most part, it's hell. And teams are so scared of that, they'll go, we'll just pay him. We'll just pay someone that's fine, or even in this case, not, like he's great. We'll pay market value, and it blows up in their face time and time again.
I think people forget quickly. He was not only fine, he was better than fine when they paid him. He led the NFL with 4,600 passing yards back in 2023. Now, my point at the time, and I think a lot of people's point at the time, was, are we sure? I mean, so much of the best of Tua has been based on Tyreek Hill or weapons and pieces around him or the scheme of Mike McDaniel when they were really cooking. And a lot of quarterbacks maybe could have put up some of those numbers. But, yeah, if you look at the financial situation for the Dolphins as they bench him, staggering what we're going to talk about here money-wise. If they cut him pre-June 1, which means just they make the decision to release him, the dead money on Tua is $99.2 million that they'll have to eat to move on from him. Now, if you say, well, that's unprecedented, nobody's going to do that, wrong. That's basically what the Broncos did with Russell Wilson. And remember, when they made the trade for Russell Wilson, they gave up a lot and then paid him. So it's even worse than Tua, who is a second contract guy who Miami drafted at the top of the board. If they cut him and designate it post-June 1, later into the offseason, waiting a little while, it would be a $67.4 million dead cap hit on Tua. And then if you're able to trade him, which is going to be complicated and difficult, I think you'd have to eat some money. But in an offseason where Kyler Murray's going to look for a home, now Tua's looking for a home. Remember, the draft class we know is not good at quarterback this year. Maybe somebody bites here and thinks that they can serve as a reclamation society and get him back to playing like he did a couple of years ago. Then it's $45.2 million in dead money, so you're saving roughly $50 million if you can do that. But he's already had $54 million guaranteed for next season, so he's going to break the bank, make the money, and the Dolphins are pretty screwed. I am interested to see Quinn Ewers, as much as you are anytime a guy starts. Like when you go to Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland, it's intriguing before you see it. Like, what does it look like, right? Ewers, draft pick this year, 7th round, went a little later in the draft than most people thought he was going to. Mike McDaniel's got a good scheme. They get some guys open. Let's see what he looks like. He's probably going to make a lot of mistakes, but Tua had that covered.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Turning the ball over a bunch, so why not try something else?
I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, I also like, as you said, skipping over Zach Wilson. A fairly known commodity at this point. There's the long-term upside play or the long-term let's see what we got play. There's nothing on the line in these games. They are irrelevant. They are find out type missions, right? And I think a lot of teams maybe will act accordingly in that same regard. Maybe one here locally, who knows, over these last few weeks. But I'm with you. I mean, this is the thing that always I kind of come back to is, what are you going to do, lose? We got that covered. You know, like the way that we've been doing it is so unsuccessful, that's why we're here. There's very little allegiance, in my view, owed to the team that put you in this trouble, that put you in this spot where we're now. A lot of us are going to lose gigs, starting gigs, demotions, seat changes in the case of Joe Witt, coaching changes, player and free agency cuts, etc. So, yeah, I'm all for the let's see what we got.
I saw a stat that I wanted to bounce off you today that I thought was pretty insane. Post-Buffalo Bills era, where the Bills got to and lost the Super Bowl year after year after year, mm-hmm. and they went to 4 in a row. Since then, over the last 32 years, only one team that has lost the Super Bowl has gotten back to the Super Bowl the following season. Kansas City, obviously, last year losing to Philadelphia is going to keep this streak going
yep.
because they didn't make the playoffs at all. But we talk oftentimes about how hard it is to repeat in the National Football League, and it is nearly impossible. When you get to and lose the Super Bowl, it's basically a death sentence for the following season. And I do find that really interesting. Like, I've been trying to figure out, well, why is that?
So hard to pin down as to why.
But you would think, like, you get there and you win, the hangover is explainable. It's obvious. You're partying, you're going to Disney World, you're doing the bender for 2 weeks with your teammates. We saw it here with the Capitals after the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, the just okay player who played pretty well in the playoffs gets a mega deal to go be a frontline player somewhere else. It's normal. That makes sense to me.
All happens, right? Yeah. Why does the team that gets there and loses, you would think, we've seen the videos, the pictures of guys sitting on the bench staring at the celebration, Stephon Diggs, all it's going to do is make you hungrier, make you that much more thirsty for that success. You're getting back to the grind faster. You were allowed to get to the water fountain and then pulled away as your lips touched the water. You would think there's an urgency. One out of 32 teams over the last 3+ decades now that have lost in the Super Bowl have gotten back there the following season. Pretty amazing.
That is incredible. And again, if I knew why, I would just, I'm sure so. Well, if anybody knew why, they would write it down and give you a prescription to try to avoid it. But there's, it maybe sort of indicates, this is the best hypothesis I've got. Maybe it's a, you weren't really the best team, but you caught every break to get there and maybe got exposed is the wrong word, but you know, went as far as you possibly could. And then you don't get that same level of luck versus a team that truly is sustainably great with all the right ingredients, et cetera. Right. And you think of a San Francisco making it there the year they have good injury luck, they get to the Super Bowl. Well, then that injury luck progresses and they go 6-11, you know, under Kyle Shanahan. Maybe that's it. But again, that's nothing but a hypothesis.
What'd you think of Hard Knocks last night?
Really, really good. Really, really good. That's my kind of episode. I guess they all are. But that extra time with the teams, with kind of the story heading into it. The game stuff is good too because you get mic'd up, and I think that stuff's awesome. You hear some of the things during the game. You see owners or whoever's involved in that episode. But that's kind of that extra little bit of content, the lead up to it. My favorite thing that this in-season one does is when two teams in the division are playing each other,
yeah,
and they're talking about the other in kind of almost the exact same terminology and tone. Well, so there, the Giants are talking about Mariota. He's this, 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 and this. And then they cut to Joe Witt, and he's talking about this guy's going to, you know, headbutt you and knock you into next week. He doesn't run like this guy. We got to bring him down. The ball's air, the ball's life, et cetera. All that kind of stuff. I love it.
The way it's edited is also just brilliant. To your point, that they're going from one meeting room with the Commanders to another meeting room with the Giants as they get ready for the two to play one another. It's very, very well done. But the scene that I liked the most last night, and for Commanders fans that I think should have been catnip, was Zach Ertz, who had his ACL shredded, whose season is over,
yep,
whose career is probably over. I hope I'm wrong, and I am certainly not going to say that with a period at the end of the sentence, but it is very possible in your mid-30s, suffering the very serious injury that he did, when you're already not a guy that's beating people off the line of scrimmage or fleet of foot, that maybe, just maybe, that was the last snap that you were on the field for. And see his reaction when he was sobbing coming off the field, oh, yeah, in a very human moment on episode 2 of Hard Knocks. I think that realization is also a possibility in his mind, right? But this guy's out for the year and maybe done for the rest of his career. He is a hired gun here for the most part. Like, he's going to retire a Philadelphia Eagle. He's a Hall of Famer going in as a Philadelphia Eagle. He's in his second season here at the end of a illustrious career. But you could pretty easily go home after that injury to your celebrity athlete wife, Julie Ertz, who was very popular for her soccer accomplishments with Team USA, and your kids, and just be at the house. I think that's actually the norm. That's what guys do. End of a year, you're not playing again. You just got hurt. You're in that depression phase post-surgery, post-op. You're literally limping around the facility on crutches, yeah, bandaged up with a leg that's the size of a recliner, trying to get through doors and stuff. But what was he doing last week? He was sitting in the film room with Ben Sinnott, with the sun having gone down in Ashburn, showing the second-year tight end who was about to get an opportunity to elevate himself in the passing game, the practice tape from that day and the things that he thought Sinnott did well, the things that he didn't think he did well. He's coaching him up on the tape from practice. Just those two. No tight end coach, no one else in the room, just Ben Sinnott and Zach Ertz, who may never play again in the league and almost, yeah, certainly won't play again for the Commanders. You want to know about Zach Ertz? Turn on HBO. That was awesome.
It would be forgivable and very easy for a short amount of time for you to feel sorry for yourself. I can tell you, I would. I'll tell you right now. I tore my ACL, or if I did something like that where I can't do the thing that I love to do, you might not want to be around me for a few days. I might be a miserable cuss. I might be snapping at people a little bit short, wallowing in my own misery, eating a pint of ice cream with my leg up. Watching Stranger Things. You might have caught me. Then, like, he had his moment where he felt terrible. That broke him, and that was real and human, as you said, as you correctly said there in Minnesota, where guys are going over, patting him on the shoulder. You know, everybody kind of knew how bad it was. And right back on the grind, just helping out a youngster. you know, helping out his replacement, ultimately. That, pretty incredible, dude.
Literally, the guy that has made you expendable, not by way of performance or catches or whatever, but they drafted him in the second round when they brought you in, partially to mentor him. But one of the reasons you're probably not coming back, in addition to the injury and your age, is that this guy's under contract and they're paying him good money, and he is trying to make him a better football player. Yep. What an altruistic, legitimate, fun, cool scene that was. Like, that was just, to me, that explains some of the stuff we laugh at a little bit or we're cynical about on the outside when they talk about their leadership and the brotherhood. That's what they're talking about. That is, in the flesh, what they've built. Now, it wasn't good enough this year.
No.
And it was actually really bad this year. And if you don't have enough talent, it'll be bad next year. Like, the brotherhood doesn't win you games, right? But that culture is good. And I think you're seeing that in this Hard Knocks access. You're seeing the meetings that they have. Dan Quinn is a leader. Every time he's on screen giving a speech, you understand why players like him. They had Dave Gardy. I've always kind of wondered, like, what does he do exactly? But he used to work for the NFL. He's very, very plugged in on rules. He helped write the rule book, literally. And it sounds like, among other things, he's putting together reports on officiating crews for Dan Quinn, going into games and a lot of other stuff. But he was leading a meeting at one point in time with the players where he was going over the history of the rivalry between Washington and New York. Because let's face it, you know, I love Bill, who was on the show yesterday. He was fantastic. Listen to that wherever you get your audio and download that podcast wherever you do that. But Bill doesn't care about the Giants any different than the Bengals, any different than the Arizona Cardinals, or neither does Johnny Newton or, you know, a lot of other guys on this team like John Bates. Mm-hmm. But you got to tell them why fans care. You got to tell them why this one matters a little more outside of these walls. And they're going through the history of the rivalry and big games and the different eras. I think that's awesome.
I do too.
You don't have to do that. I think they do that in a lot of buildings. I think a lot of teams are trying to keep that mirage of rivalries and up and whatnot. But just seeing that, the curtain pulled back, that they do care about that element, that they are trying to pass it along to this new generation.
Well, you figure it out real quick in college, right? And that's kind of what they're, what you know, playing football. In high school, you knew who your rival was. In college, you show up on campus. Before you get to practice, you learn the fight song, and you learn who the bad guy is. You know, we're at Florida. Who we got to beat? Georgia. We're at Auburn. Who we got to beat? Alabama. Like, you figure that out real quick, and it's kind of ingrained.
As I think about you saying that, because it's all true, that's dying, too, in college. Because I'm not really a Georgia Bulldog. I am,
for now,
Grant Paulson, LLC.
Yep.
I'm here for a year, but is Ohio State on the horn? Ryan Day interested?
Mm-hmm.
I hear Notre Dame needs a cornerback. By the way, the idea of me playing cornerback should make people laugh. But I hear somebody needs something. You know what I mean? Like, the NFL has always been the free agency, the player movement, the individualized. This is pro, career, money. And so they have to scratch and claw and fight to get you to care about it from a program standpoint. College, it was intrinsic, and that's why we comp it to college. Mm-hmm. But college is becoming more like, they're going to have to do that in 10 years at Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, this is why we care about Alabama, when they don't really have conferences anymore. Nice. You know, this is what happened back in 1996. And then in 2014 with Mark Richt. They're going to have to go through the history. It's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, we're in the big money division and the mega money division and the Uber division with all the money. Yeah, it is different. You're right. But that's what these guys came up now playing. And there's a significance to it. There's a reason homecoming, it's just a football game, but it's also more. And everybody knows it's more. But you get ingrained in that. And I think that's pretty cool that it translates to the highest levels.
Speaking of college football, Brock Vereen of the Big Ten Network in about 40 minutes. We'll get his predictions on round one of the college football playoff. I want to ask him if JMU has any way of keeping this game close with Oregon. Everybody's just assuming that Oregon is going to destroy them. And they should. They're 20-plus point favorites.
And they're good, by the way.
They're so good. They could win the national championship. But can the Dukes hang? We'll talk to Brock Vereen about that coming up at 3 o'clock today on G&D. Next, the Commanders are finally coming off of a win. They halt an 8-game skid. You can see on Hard Knocks that they are, at least in the building, smiling a little more, feeling better about themselves. I want to know if you feel any better about the direction of the program after the win. The 10,000-foot view of this operation, the state of the union, so to speak. the overall health of the program. Do you feel better about it? Whatever doubts have been creeping in about the front office, the coaching staff, how bad and far away this roster is. Did the Giants win do anything to make you feel better in the big picture? And if not, could a win over the Eagles this week, a much better opponent, do that? We'll get into that next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Back-to-back games where the Capitals have been just awful. 5-1 loss to the Jets and then 5-0 to the Minnesota Wild. I'd say Spencer Carberry is probably giving the boys multiple days off for the final time for a little while.
You might not see that again for a minute. You get another winning streak where you win 8 of 9 or you go real nice and maybe down the stretch. But yeah, you kind of lost that privilege, didn't you?
I mean, the game before that, coming out of their little mini break that he gave them, they weren't very good against the Canes. They got a point. They took it to overtime at home before losing. But back-to-back games on the road, outscored 10-1. They come back tomorrow night to play against the Toronto Maple Leafs at Capital One Arena. They'll drop the puck at 7 o'clock, suddenly needing a win.
I was wildly impressed, by the way, bad pun, by Minnesota. I thought they were awesome. I mean, they're good. Caps had a couple chances. That one blind pass from Connor McMichael to center. I think it was to Doubter who had a golden opportunity. Their goalie was very calm, cool, and collected. He was not threatened by any offensive action from Washington.
Well, there's also a little bit, I think, sometimes in hockey of like my 72 and sunny thing, where if you watch the tape of the Eagles-Raiders game this week, you go, oh, Jalen Hurts played much better. It's like, Well, yeah.
Yes.
They won 31-0. Mm-hmm. They ran it almost 50 times for 180 yards, you know? Like, yeah, he played pretty good. They were never, ever behind. They had a lead. They were in front of the sticks. I think they were 10 of 13 on third down because they were mostly third and five or fewer. So, yeah, he played at a high level. You should play at a high level. Sometimes I feel that way with, like, defenses or the goaltender. Mm-hmm. You get these leads in hockey, and I know two goals can be scary or whatever, but when you're just dominating a team like that, all of a sudden everybody starts feeling themselves a little bit. But speaking of the Commanders and the Eagles on Saturday night, 5 o'clock game, Northwest Stadium in Landover. I want to know if people feel any differently or better about the health of this regime and this program right now after the win over the Giants. And we can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. And if the answer is no, that's fine. Would it also be no if they beat the Eagles? Like, are we just at a point this season where you've seen enough bad and enough problem area stuff that you have filed, whether it's the front office, the coaching staff, the roster, or all three, into a category of now not being sure? If they go out against a superior Philadelphia team, way better than the Giants, and they beat an Eagles team, let's say that plays well, when they play an inspired game, see the Broncos match up last time they were at home, would that make you feel better about the state of the union for this team? Because I know the Vikings game did a lot to take us in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
31-0 shutout's going to do that. But they played the Broncos, one-point game, really, really close. It was a much, much better football game. Remember, they were doing their victory lap. We found ourselves. We lost the game, but we're not lost anymore. Then you get blown out 31-0. You will have had the Broncos game, the Vikings shutout, and then back-to-back wins if you beat Philadelphia. Would it start to affect how you feel overall about the health of the program? Whether this thing's rotten, yeah, whether you open the fridge and it smells, whether there's still some bones worth saving here, 800-636-1067.
So for me, the way that it's gone, I don't feel better, and I'll explain why. It's not just reflexive, like, no, screw these people. They lost a lot. I don't care anymore. It's not that. Hear me out. What was Joe Gibbs and his staff the most famous for? Right? Now, historically, as we look back, it was, you know, he won Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks and the offensive line and this and that. It became almost mythical, even to the point that it might have been overhyped and overstated. But it was always known among the fan base that the adjustments, they were going to make those halftime adjustments. Who knows how real that was or wasn't. It worked a lot. There was always something different, always a new plan. I don't see this group adjusting. I don't see quarterbacks under center. I don't see different personnel. I don't see anything different. I don't see a trade from the front office at the trade deadline.
They've
to grab some draft
defensively
capital.
If it you look took, at man and zone, if you look at, no, it's a different play caller.
Well, that's where I was going to go.
But that too in his adjustment. They made that change.
It took the worst stretch in the last decade plus of the league for Dan Quinn to finally begrudgingly do something a little bit different. And it was to change Joe Witt's seat. That's it. They don't fix things. They're not fixers. They're not getting with the program. They're not doing anything different. Again, I keep saying the same thing. It's the same personnel groupings, the same playing time, the same ratios, the same 20% snap cap for Jordan McGee, the same no targets for Ben Sinnott, the same whatever. You just keep sending them up. And they were good enough this time to beat one of the two worst teams in football, barely despite their own mistakes. If they do a bunch of things differently, and it'll be hard to quantify in the moment, but if we get to look at now target shares and go through some of the film with people that are smarter than me that can tell me, hey, this one was for Ben Sinner. This look was for name this young player. This was for Treylon Burks or whatever. Or Tyler Owens played way more than he has, got more responsibility. And Jordan McGee wore the green dot for three possessions. If we do more of that stuff and they beat Philly, okay, that means something to me. The same dudes doing the same thing that brought you 3-10, I don't feel any better. And that was my story after the game. It's my story now.
So maybe this is a semantics argument or point I'm making, but you're explaining to me like how you would be happier with this staff. And maybe that is what I'm asking. It's certainly not what I'm trying to, though. I'm trying to say in the bigger picture, like with how far away they are, with how quickly they can turn things around, with how much you trust Adam Peters.
Yeah, and that's at the core of this for me. Yeah.
With how much you feel good about this coaching staff, And for you, maybe it's usage is a big part of that in terms of who they're going to implement for those four or five extra snaps or those one or two extra opportunities. But I don't feel any better or differently in the grand scheme of things after a win over the Giants than I did going in, to answer the question I'm asking. And my answer to that, or reason for that, would be it was a Marcus Mariota-led win. Had Jaden Daniels been out there playing the same game Mariota did or close to it, running for 40 yards, making the big throw late to Terry McLaurin, I would have felt a lot better about the state of the union and just the grand scheme of the operation, what I'm calling the health of the program, because he will have shown this growth. But now, as Barry Sfarluga wrote in his column, we talked about it on the show yesterday with him. If you missed that interview, you can podcast it wherever you get your audio. We don't get a chance for any of those steps forward. As I'm spitballing out loud here, does that mean that other things benefiting the future, other young guys excelling, like I'm just going to dismiss them because Jaden Daniels isn't out there? I don't think so, but I feel better about Bill than I did going into the game. He's an important piece going forward. I already liked Jalen Lane a lot, but I feel better about him coming out of the game than I did going in. I think he's a building block for the future. I feel better about Mikey Sanra still than I did. So in these little spots, I'm more excited about the future. But in the grand scheme of things, if we're talking front office decisions, where Ben Sinnott got one target, one catch as a second-round pick without Ertz, I don't feel better about that. Johnny Newton, Brandon Coleman got on the field, played at a very solid level, as he always does, but still can't crack the rotation at this point. Like, those are some of the things I'm looking at in terms of the bigger picture health of this thing.
Yeah, which I think we're feeding out of the same trough.
And by the way, too, I'll just finish it with this. It's not like, you know, they got out to a huge lead. I kind of forgotten, and you rewatch it on Hard Knocks, how precarious everything got. It was 22-7 they were up, and then they tried to literally fumble the game away. It's not like they're on the sideline out coaching Kafka and those boobs that are going to be out of jobs at the end of the year. That's not what was happening.
Totally. And
the Giants kept coming back and kept getting closer and closer. It's not like you would say a effort for the coaching staff in that game.
Yeah, and they still can't get timeouts right. They still can't fix the things that ail them. It's still 11 penalties this late into the season with the same veterans that they keep trotting out there. And that's kind of my big picture point here is, where is the change? Where's my improvement? Where's my something different? And it's not. It's sort of the same deal. We'll just keep beating our head against the wall. And there's something to be said for loyalty, right? Where we're going to go with the guys that brung us. Well, those guys brought you here. Now you're 4-10. Congrats. I don't feel great about the program.
Where did they bring you exactly?
Yeah, they brought you to a terrible place that everyone's going to be replaced.
To an abandoned parking lot at a strip mall where a bunch of things have been foreclosed on.
Well, every light out. Yeah, it's a terrible spot.
Okay, but so then let me ask the same question.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I don't need to ask you because all you care about is, does Treylon Burks get targets? Does Ben Sinnott catch passes? Does Johnny Newton get a sack?
Those are examples of my general feeling, yeah.
But from a results standpoint, if they go out with McLaurin, I understand this will be frustrating, and with some of the veterans, and they keep chopping wood with Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu at linebacker and whatever, and they now elevate their game and outplay the Eagles, who are trying to win a division,
right?
Division on the line. I do think that would absolutely make me feel better about the health of the program. They do not have a good win yet on their resume. Zippy.
Chargers is a good win. No? Isn't that a good win? They're 10-4.
When they played them, I don't think that was that good of a win.
I agree with you. That wasn't the best Chargers team, but
their offensive line in that game
was bad.
Was decimated.
It was very bad.
It was Justin Herbert and the Island of Misfit Toys. I'll say it was an okay win based on the fact that they've turned into a really good team. But the week before they played Washington, the Giants beat them.
Yep.
The Giants have two wins this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants are god-awful.
Yep.
They beat the Chargers days before Washington did, just to give you a state of how bad things had gotten with all their injuries. So I'm not going to call that a good win, but it's better, right? But their wins are essentially Giants and Raiders.
Yep.
And a super injured Chargers team. You beat Philly, that's your best win in the regular season,
by a lot.
Probably in 2 years. Even last year, they didn't beat winning teams. They beat Philadelphia, the one win against a winning team last year. But Hurts got hurt when they were up 14-0 and moving to go up 21-0. And then they beat Kenny Pickett, who just got shut out by the Eagles and lost 31-0. So if you're kind of actually looking at context, I think you could make the case that would be their most surprising win over two seasons.
I think so.
And for that reason, I would feel a lot better about where they're at, because it would just be an indicator of the bones in that building are strong. You got to rearrange a bunch of things, but you've got a foundation. Like, if you tear it down to the studs, you don't have to rebuild the foundation. If they can actually beat some good teams and show they're not going to check out. The Raiders didn't get off the bus. That's a fire everybody game for me. Now, you could say, well, Washington had one of those a week earlier, and it's true. And had they have had one or two more of those, that might have been the narrative around here. But when that game happened and you get got where they just didn't want to be in the snow and didn't want to deal with Philadelphia, it makes you start questioning things like we were doing last week. Mm-hmm. Are they listening to Dan Quinn? Do they care about Dan Quinn being the coach of the team? And then their answer pretty resoundingly was yes. So now we get another folder to put away in the file cabinet this week.
Yeah, so I think I had my everything's on the table, everything should be discussed and reviewed when they lost those four games by 100 points. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, like, I already crossed that point. Like, we had our Raiders shutout game, our Minnesota Vikings, and that just, like, doubled down on it for me. But that stretch was so inexcusable. The other games where you lost to Miami, you lost to Denver, you played much better, and you were just a normal weekly loss that happens. Teams that are picking in the top five lose like that all the time. But the fact that it was so bad for four straight games is so inexcusable and should not be glossed over by any kind of letter performance. I guess that's sort of where I am there. Like, they never got off the bus four times already.
Nobody has stretches like that.
Nobody does.
You're not allowed to, basically.
Right.
And if you do, then I don't need to necessarily fire everybody, but I could.
Right.
It's that bad. So let's pose that question to you guys next, 800-636-1067. So I'm saying, no, I'm not feeling better about the health of the program after the Giants win, but a win over the Eagles would absolutely put me in a better place in the big picture, that you've got the right people in the right places at the high levels, front office, coaching staff, to get this thing squared away.
No, for me, with the caveat that if everything looks different, if timeouts are correct, they're getting out of huddles and, you know, don't commit 11 penalties, aren't sloppy, and are able to actually play really well with some of their younger pieces involved too, it'll show me that there's something getting through to these guys and there's been something different, an adjustment has been made. I'll be more excited then.
But we'll get to you guys on this next, 800-636-1067. Would a win over the Eagles help you to feel better about the overall state of the Commanders Union? This is The Fan.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
As I'm walking back into the studio, I overheard you telling young Wes about the day you ate 50 shrimp.
Yeah, so the store, I went to the Metropolitan Club with my buddy Quinn for Easter brunch, right? And there's this unbelievable amount of food. It was incredible. So there's a guy making pancakes right there in front of you. Whatever, you want some bananas in it, you want blueberries in it, chocolate chips, whatever you want. All the eggs and the souffles, all the different stuff.
I don't see that very often. The omelet guy, of course.
Omelet guy's there, too.
Even a waffle station, but a pancake station?
Pancake station. I mean, it was unbelievable. One of the great meals I've ever had. And so I fill my plate with all the great breakfast stuff, because breakfast is the greatest meal. And I look over, and there's a raw bar. And nobody's even close to it, because it was like 10:45 in the morning. And I'm like, what am I going to have? Cocktail shrimp like this. These giant jumbo shrimp, incredible, perfectly peeled, et cetera. So I get a little side plate. I put 10 on there. And I'm eating the regular meal, and I'm kind of going, that's what I want. I want those shrimp. I went back 5 times and got a total of 50 shrimp. I wonder what I could have done if that's all I did. Because I had breakfast food also, heavy stuff, starchy. You know what I mean? So my record's 50. Toby beat it at Spanky Shenanigans.
He did.
In Leesburg.
Well, he had to, because Terry had, I think it was like 49
51 yards, right?
So he needed to go out and eat 52 or 53 shrimp. Coming up at 3 o'clock on G&D, we'll talk to Brock Vereen. We'll preview the college football playoffs to get going this weekend. He, of course, is from the Big Ten Network. I know I'm overthinking about the pancake station, but if I may, I don't think I make pancakes enough. That's a fun thing to make.
Yeah.
And I say this as someone who's never really made them, but just watched people make them, because you pour them and then they're very round and you can kind of get them in the perfect shape. And then they're
very orderly.
Crunch up a little bit. You get that like brown texture. It's like almost marshmallow over fire color. And
sure,
then you flip it. Like, I think that's about as aesthetically pleasing and cool a thing to make as there is.
With you on that, I'm also wildly impressed with people. To me, it's a great line of demarcation as to who can cook and who can't. People who know when to flip pancakes are good cooks. You know what I mean? Like, I can look at it and go, now? Later? I don't know. My wife knows.
You're interested in the flipping of things, I'd say. Because, like, I remember years ago, one of the times I think you were particularly prideful in getting to do a show with me was when I told you that I can flip an omelet pretty well. And so, like, I do a thing where I'm silly at making an omelet. I don't know how or why, I just am.
You just am.
So, you just am.
You just I am.
Put that on a t-shirt.
That's how we do it. You know, Grant, he just am.
The key is, like, the oil underneath, so it kind of bubbles up a little bit and it doesn't stick.
I guess.
Having said that, you kind of get it sliding. And then that move where you shove it forward and you send it like off the edge of the pan to let it land on the other side. I don't know how or why. It's a natural skill. Like, someone ever says, what are you really good at? That's random. It's just that. Michael Vick was like, when I go this, the ball goes 60 yards. Me, when I do this,
the omelet flips.
The omelet just lands exactly how it's supposed to. It's crazy. I don't know what to say. Let's go to Ray, who's in Maryland. Ray, are you feeling better about the program after a win over the Bad Giants?
I am feeling better, guys. How you doing, Grant and Governor Rouye?
Doing well.
And I'm a pancake and omelet guy. So,
attaboy.
You can do both. I love it.
I do both. Brunch at my house pregame is a legend. But what I'd like to say is, you know, it's hard to win in the NFL, and it's hard to win division games. So to have that happen even on a losing team, I'm very pleased. I'm not as pleased with the play calling, like you said, Danny. I'm not in the Kingsbury camp. I don't get it with what we have, but I do understand because during Thanksgiving, I was with a recently retired Tampa Bay Buccaneer at his house for Thanksgiving, and he really made it plain to me. They're playing the contracts. It's just that simple.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, bud.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, they were top five offense last year. They might end up being top 10 this year, so they're doing something right. Their rushing game, which everybody takes issue with, is sixth in EPA per play. Some of that is obviously quarterback contribution. But the idea that Cliff has to make adjustments, I'm in that camp. I've been beating the drum as loud and hard as anybody all season long. I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater here, though, on that. It's not like the defense, which was so abhorrent and so terrible and so awful, and they had no answers that they obviously had to make a change, and where you can look at it and say, this coordinator is not very good at this. He is not able to answer the questions on the Scantron. Offensively, it's different. That's a little bit of a different conversation. Let's go to Dickie in Fairfax. Dickie, we're trying to figure out, did your feelings about the overall health of the Dan Quinn regime get better or stay the same after they beat the Giants?
It did, and there's a reason why, and I get all the people who are talking about Benson at this and Benson at that. Terry McLaurin's going to be on the team next year. He looks great. Bill Kroski-Merritt's going to be on the team next year. He looked great. Jacob Martin looked great. I mean, Sammer still, we found a – I think we have a solid punt returner now. So, yeah, it did help a little bit. You can't lose nine in a row. So you got to take it. You got to take it as a win.
Appreciate you, buddy. That is the one thing that keeps me from being annoyed, which you are, I would say, about how they went about implementing the players at their disposal this weekend. Bill goes ham as your rookie tailback.
Yep.
Mikey Sanders still makes a big play. You win because of him. Your Jaylen rookie Lane. Wide receiver, Jaylen Lane, rips off a punt return. You win because of him. And, you know, defensively speaking, you did have a couple of the kids that were noticed at different points. It's not like, you know, the average age of players that were thriving were 37 years old or something. Let's talk to Brock Faerie next. Speaking of young football talent, college football playoffs get started this weekend. Does JMU have a shot to stun everybody? And who is going to win the national championship? We'll get those answers next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.